words of the hymn Amazing Grace, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." This great hymn speaks about the two states of humanity. One is either lost or found. One is either blind or can see. It also speaks of a gracious, loving God who can and does bring us out of our lowly state of sin. A God who brings us out of our state of doubt and fear to new heights of righteousness and courage and praise in our lives. We find God in the person of Jesus Christ doing just this today in our story, as told by the Apostle John. We know it is the story of Jesus healing the blind beggar. When we look at the miracles of Jesus, recovering of sight to the blind was the miracle that we hear about more than any other miracle in the Gospels. It's the miracle that he performed most, recovering of sight to the blind. And what we find is this. We find the manifestation of Jesus' words back in Luke 4, where Jesus says, if you remember the story, he stood up in the synagogue and he was teaching, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled it, he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." And he rolled the scroll back up and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So what we read of today was a fulfillment of Jesus' own prophecy of who he was as one coming to open the eyes of people. But this is more than a story about Jesus meeting the physical needs of this man. It's a continuing story of God revealing himself to the world through his Son. And this chapter 9, we have to remember, comes on the heels of Jesus' claims about himself previously in chapter 8. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Well, the Pharisees were upset about this, and they said, "Well, you don't have a testimony other than your own about what you claim." And Jesus says, "I am the one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me," saying that God's witness, my Father's witness, is through the miraculous power and the miracles that I perform. That's the testimony that you need to focus on. When he was making claims about himself, Jesus says, "I'm not possessed by a demon as the Pharisees and the religious leaders claimed he was." He says, "I'm not possessed by a demon. I honor my Father. I'm not seeking glory for myself. But there is one who seeks it, and he's the judge." He says, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me." And now, as he was teaching in the temple area, comes to our text today. "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Now he had been teaching in the temple area, and he came upon one of the beggars who often sat outside the temple begging from the pilgrims who would come into the temple. And it's interesting that his disciples asked him this question: "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born without his eyesight, born blind?" You see, sickness and suffering were regarded as consequences of sin in a person's life in this time period. We remember Job, as Job suffered all these trials and tribulations that he went through, and the persecutions, his friends came to him, and they said, "There must be some sin in your life, because God would not have allowed this to happen if there was no sin in your life." And Job said, "I'm sorry, there is not." If we remember the story of Paul, as he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta and he started a fire, a viper came out, was driven out by the heat, and bit him. And those who saw this said, "This man must be a sinner," and they accused him of being a murderer because this great affliction had come upon him and the snake had bitten him. But what a wonderful opportunity now for Jesus to display his divine power, open the eyes of everyone as to who he really was, and give God the glory. What a great opportunity as he and his disciples came out of the temple area and there sat a blind beggar. You see, this is what Jesus was about to do, and this is what he continues to do today. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. You see, the reason for our suffering and the suffering of mankind in general is not a payment for specific sin that we commit. God does not blast down lightning bolts of persecution in our lives because of sin that we commit. It's because since Adam and Eve in the garden, we live in a world under a curse, and suffering is allowed. It's allowed by a sovereign God so that we might come back to him. Plainly put, pain is a good teacher. It gives us a proper perspective of our needs of a healer, for a healer. You see, without the wound, we would never see the doctor, would we? How many of us here would go to the doctor unless we have to? We must remember that without the fall of humanity, we would know nothing of the grace of God offered to us in the cross of Jesus Christ. So plainly put, without suffering in life, sometimes it's hard to see and know God. And the understanding in our text would have been based on the law of that day, which taught that God was a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him. So the question was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind like this? And Jesus said, neither of them sinned. He was born like this so that God's glory might be seen in his life. He goes on to say, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. First of all, we must know that this was the Sabbath day. And what Jesus was implying was the work of God who sent Jesus was to reveal himself to the world. And even though it was the Sabbath day, even though it was wrong to do things like this on the Sabbath, according to the law, Jesus says, hey, this is the day, this is the time, this is the opportunity. And as long as it is the day and the time and opportunity, we have to do the work of the one who sent me. Because night's coming, there's a time coming when no one can work, when we won't be able to do this. But while I'm in the world, I'm going to do this because I am the light of the world. And that work of God sending Jesus was to reveal himself to the world. Remember when Jesus prayed the night before he went to the cross? He prayed, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, they have obeyed your word, now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. He says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus said in John 12, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And what he was saying is, I've come into the world so that all who see me might see the glory of God. Says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And this word light in the Greek is pronounced phos, and it means to shine or make manifest, to appear or affirm or show or make one's thoughts known. While I am in the world, I am here. I am the manifestation of, I am the appearance of, and making God's thoughts known. It tells us, having said this, he spit on the ground and he made some mud with his saliva and he put it on the man's eyes. And this was the common remedy that day for ailments of the eyes. They'd make a mud paste and kind of smear it on to relieve the eyes. But this man was blind. And Jesus said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and he came home seeing. He came home seeing. Now, it would have seemed that he was worse off than before when Jesus smeared the mud on his eyes. He was only blind before, now here he was, blind and had mud all over his face. And that's sometimes how it is when God works in our lives. But in faith, and the Bible says, we walk by faith, not sight. This man was not walking by sight. He couldn't even see Jesus. In faith, he obeyed and he went and he came home seeing. His eyesight was not restored because he never had it to begin with. He was given eyesight. He was given something that he never had before. And his neighbors, those who had formerly seen him begging, said, "Hey, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was, but others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he insisted, "I am the man. I am the man." Note the difference isn't just that he could see. There was something different about this man. He was clearly not the same man. The question was, what was it that made such a change in your life? And he gives a great testimony. When they said, "How then were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." The man they called Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. In fact, he didn't even ask to be healed. He wasn't a previous follower of Jesus. All he knew and all he could see now was this man that they call Jesus told me what to do, I did it, and my life was changed. You see, Jesus is that way. He's a life changer. He's a light to the world. He's the light of the world, but you have to turn the switch on to allow the light to shine in your life. And in contrast to Naaman in 2 Kings, who was the commander of the army of the king of Aram, he was a great man in the sight of his master, and he was highly regarded because through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to Aram. But he got leprosy. The prophet Elisha told him to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he would be cleansed. How silly. How simple. In fact, Naaman went away angry because he expected some great thing of Elisha. But it was simple. And until he obeyed the prophet's orders, he suffered with leprosy. But when he finally humbled himself and obeyed and washed in the Jordan, he was cleansed. You see, what Jesus was doing here was shedding light on or revealing God's desires for all of us to obey Him. If we want to see miracles in our lives today, we have to be willing to obey Christ and His orders to love, to forgive, to follow Him. Why is that so hard for us? Why is it so hard for us to do this? Maybe it's because, like Naaman, it seems silly. Maybe it's pride issue. Maybe we don't need Him. Silly or not, we must obey because God revealed to us His plan of salvation in Jesus. We must do what He says and believe that He can do miracles in our lives too. Don't doubt like the Pharisees did. In fact, they even went to the man's parents to try and prove that the man really wasn't born blind from birth. But they said he was their son and that he was born blind. Then the Pharisees went back to the man a second time. They were trying to prove that Jesus was not who he said he was. And they even called him a sinner. They summoned the man a second time who had been blind. They said, "Give glory to God. We know that this man," meaning Jesus, "is a sinner." But he says, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." He went on to say to the religious leaders and the Pharisees, "We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does His will." So he was sticking up for Jesus. He was saying, why would God listen to this?